Hi, good people. I'm Caroline. I'm your co-host.
And I'm Laura, your other co-host.
And welcome back to another episode of the Evil People Podcast.
Yeah, round three, baby.
So two things prompted my choice for today's evil person, Laura.
Great.
The first being that I saw that last week on January 27th was International Holocaust Remembrance Day.
Yes, it was. And
on that day, I actually saw someone back in our former kind of town of D.C.,
yes,
since we both went to high school in that area, someone drew swastikas all over the entrance to Union Station.
On Holocaust Remembrance Day.
On Holocaust Remembrance Day. And it just reminded me that even so many years after the Holocaust, after World War II ended, like, we do still need to be talking about the Nazis.
Absolutely.
And the terrible, evil things they did. Because that symbol is, like, such a hateful reminder of those evils, and, like, it's not okay. And I think that some people, like, trivialize it and just draw it, like, trying to be, like, provocative. But when you, like, remember what they actually did, it just, like, it shows you how not okay it is. And I think that's why it's still important to talk about, like, the atrocities that they committed.
Absolutely. No, I agree 100%. I mean, Sex and the City, the new show, what is it called? And Just Like That made a Holocaust joke, and, like, it was clear they tried.
Oh, I did not realize that.
Yeah, I saw an article about it. Basically, I don't watch the show, but somebody said, well, the Holocaust wasn't real. And then the character he was talking to yells, "Get out!" But, like, it aired on January 27th. And it's just – even if it is, like, they're saying get out, that's not okay. It was still a joke that was made, and – as
someone wrote that into a show, yeah,
and then it was performed and aired, and
right,
even if it's a joke and you're, like, saying it's not okay, you still made a joke about it, and those things are not things we need to be joking about.
Exactly. And I actually almost did the Nazis as a group, so I wanted to do for this episode, since we did two men and two, like, kind of focus on the child abuse, I was thinking I either wanted to do a woman today or, like, a group. So I thought about, like, doing the Nazis as a group, since it's very low-hanging fruit.
Sure.
But then when we were discussing that, like, women are evil, like, which women are evil, like Ghislaine Maxwell versus women who are swept up in something, groomed, abused, whatever. So in my research on the Nazis, when I first was going to do the Nazis as a group, I came across the story of Ilse Koch. And I felt like it would be, like, she would be a great woman to discuss on those very points of evil versus being swept into something.
Okay.
So I really want to hear, especially, like, your opinion on that.
Okay.
Of trying to figure out what was her and what was being swept up into the mentality of the Nazis, into the mentality of her husband, etc.
Okay. Very interesting. Very, very. I'm already, like, the wheels are turning.
So should we set the stage?
I'm always ready for you to set the stage.
So Ilse was born in 1906 in Dresden and grew up there. She entered accounting school at the age of 15 because that was one of the few work opportunities for women at the time. But when she started working as a bookkeeping clerk, Germany's economy was still struggling to recover from World War I. And I don't know how familiar you are with, like, Hitler's recruiting tactics from just, like, learning it in history class, but I guess to the Nazi party. But I remember learning that he really, like, preyed on this bad economic time and used it to fuel the anti-Allied country sentiments. I mean, do you remember learning that?
Oh, do I? I really do. Shout out to my fifth grade teachers. That was when we first really went over it, and I do remember that. And that's
interesting.
That's how
I didn't realize you learned it that young. I feel like I didn't really learn full details until, like, high school.
We did an entire skit about World War I and then the setup, mm-hmm, for World War II, and then we did a full decades project. And so I did the 20s, but, like, someone presented on, like, the 40s.
Okay.
Where it was, like, so yeah, no, I learned that in the fifth grade, and I have some things, but I definitely enjoy hearing your take and getting a little refresher on it.
I guess maybe we went over some stuff because maybe in, like, sixth grade, because Anne Frank was 12, I think,
yeah,
when she wrote her diary. So, like, we maybe covered it around that age, but, like, didn't go into it
Got
fully.
It.
Because at that point, that was like she was hiding from the Holocaust versus like we didn't go into like what happened.
Right.
So anyway, I mean, it's basically to the point about like him recruiting. It makes sense. Like he was – it was a really bad economic time. A lot – Ilse and many of her friends joined the Nazi party in the 30s because Hitler was promising to abolish the deeply unpopular Treaty of Versailles, which demilitarized part of their country – force it to pay massive, unaffordable reparations while trying to recover, like, from the fallout from the war still. And that appealed to a lot of Germans who were, like, struggling to make ends meet. And Ilse definitely was. I mean, she was a young, like, bookkeeper. And that right. was the best job she could get, but she just, like, wasn't making very much money.
Right.
And so through the party, she met her husband, Karl Otto Koch. Great German name. And in 1936, she began working as a guard and secretary at the Sachsenhausen, I think that's how you say it, concentration camp near Berlin, where Karl, who was her fiance at this point, was a commander. They were then married, and then Karl was assigned to Buchenwald.
You're doing great.
That is, I studied a little bit of German. I took 2 semesters of German, so I know
basic. You are a language gal. Lest we forget.
I'm trying my best. I probably should have like looked this up beforehand and had like, you know, YouTube read it out to me or
that's
like,
very
the pronunciation.
That is very helpful. I do that a lot.
I didn't go that deep, I guess, in my research.
You're using
today.
Natural,
I was more focused.
You have the brain for it.
All right, Buchenwald. If anybody has the correct pronunciation and wants to hit me up with it, feel free. So according to I found a lot of information from this website an article from All That's Interesting, ATI. That was the first time I had been on that, but it was a really cool website. So according to ATI, Buchenwald was one of the first and largest of the concentration camps. So I guess the biggest one was like Dachau or something, or Dachau. And this was like maybe one of the second biggest ones in Germany. And the iron gate that led into the camp read, Jedem das Sinn, which literally meant to each his own, but like that's like the exact translation, but really it was supposed to mean as like a message to the prisoners, everyone gets what he deserves. Oof. Which I found very interesting because I sort of look at our like podcast in that way, especially like your evil verdict and sentencing. So I guess, do you believe, here's my open-ended question for you. Do you believe that like everyone in life does get what they deserve? Is the world truly unfair? Like, you know, I'm a believer in karma and like that the universe always comes back around, but I was wondering, get what they deserve?
I don't. I feel like there's so many people that get away with so many things. And then also I feel like there are great people in the world who don't get it. And I mean, these prisoners were not criminals. They were just, you know, victims, and they were racially put into these racial groups and killed for that reason and that reason alone. I do think there is karma in the world, but I think events like the Holocaust and any major event where like people like are seriously hurt in a way that just does not make sense. Like, it makes you feel like karma is not as big of a factor as we think it is. You know, like there's so much. I feel like maybe karma affects more of like middle class people where we're like living our day to day. But I don't know. I think that there is such a thing. I think I'm more of a believer of you get what you put into the world. Mm-hmm. And then there are a lot of random acts of, you know, luck, and then random acts of tragedy. That's kind of where I rest.
No, that makes a ton of sense. Yeah. And I guess I was thinking more of it from the bad people get punished eventually versus these good people were carted into concentration camps and killed. So
I think that really comes down to the afterlife.
Absolutely.
I think if you can only count what we measure on Earth and like our lives here, I don't think people get what's coming to them all the time. Yep. There's so many people who get away with it. So
yeah, I mean, look at our first evil person, Matthew Israel.
He
never went to jail, never got arrested.
He never paid for his crime, so it's
– never paid. Yeah. Well, I think Ilse did get what she deserved. But first, let's discuss what she did, her crimes. So I've got four main crimes for you. Number one, so they get to Buchenwald, and did you ever see The Boy in Striped Pajamas?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely wrecked me.
I was going to say.
I did not know what was going to happen. No, I watched it on a random Netflix find, and I love World War II,
historical fiction,
books
yes.
and movies. Yeah, and I just, assumed it was something, I knew, but I didn't know that's how it was going to end.
That's tough.
No spoilers, but it was
no
very
spoilers.
Tough.
Spoil-free
no spoilers
podcast.
For a 20-year-old movie at this point, I know, think, right? But whatever. So in the movie, they had a house that was right adjacent to the concentration camp where they lived, since they were the commander and his family. So her first order of business was to use the money that they had stolen from all the Jewish prisoners to construct at the time, $62,000 indoor sports arena where she could ride her horses. And that's about $1 million in it says today's money. That might not be 2022 actually, because we obviously have had more inflation this year.
Oh, haven't we?
Yeah. So she just stole $1 million out of the pockets of the people that they brought into this camp to make a horse arena.
And that, okay. There's more. Keep going. I already have so many thoughts.
This is literally the least bad.
I was going to say, I know it is, but also it's just come on.
So she would take frequent tours of the camp on her horses, big horse girl. And
red flag. Sorry.
Red flag.
Sorry to any horse girls out there, but red flag.
So she would ride around the camp on her horse, on her high horse, and taunt prisoners until they looked at her. And at which point, if they did look at her, she would whip them. And some survivors of the camp recalled later that she always seemed particularly excited about punishing children, about sending children to the gas chamber. So if she didn't like the way that a prisoner looked at her, she'd be like, he's done. She's done and executed right now. And so she was very involved in the concentration camp, not only the running of it, she was involved in the torture activities. That was her main thing.
And this already
more so than her husband.
And this already goes so far beyond the thing that you come back to is they were following orders. And for the sake of this podcast, in the sense of, does that make them evil, or were they swept up in the evil? It was an evil act. Does that make them evil? That's kind of moot. Because she's already kind of past that. You know what I mean?
Right.
She's,
and it's not she's a Nazi commander. She's a wife. At this point, she really has no power in the party.
So,
and I'm not saying that's a good thing, because women were oppressed and all of that too. But
don't get me started on the patriarchy.
Right.
You know what I keep thinking of when you say commander and wife?
Mm-hmm.
I keep thinking of The Handmaid's Tale.
Yep.
And I mean, that would be a really great
character
one would be to pick someone from The Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah. All right. So now let me get into the really terrible stuff. So her big hobby, besides riding horses, and this would become, kind of the main point of contention during the Nuremberg trials, was her collection of lampshades, book
no,
covers,
I already know.
And gloves.
Nope.
Made from human skin.
I read about this in high school, and I remember so vividly that it was really – they were even more valuable if they had tattoos on them.
Tattoos.
And that fact alone messed me up for a long, long time. That was
– yeah, because you have tattoos.
I do have tattoos. But also, it just
your skin is more valuable than mine.
Sorry. Wow. But just
I know. That's sorry to make incredibly light of this situation, but it's truly insanity
to think
someone looking at a human being who has a tattoo and being like, I want that for my living room.
And that doesn't just
wild
turn your stomach to look like you as that person. I I don't even have fully, but it's just so interesting that she was this person. I mean, now that I think about it, I probably have read about this person.
Yeah, you probably have. So yeah, she was like, from what I've read, she was like the number one skin collector. So basically what she would do was ride the horse through camp, and when she saw a distinctive tattoo that she liked, she would have that prisoner captured. Then they would be skipped of his or her skin, preserving the tattoos before being killed and incinerated. And she did turn some of them over to researchers, because at the time they were trying to like research, because you know Nazis did like a bunch of scientific research.
If that's a rabbit hole you want to go down, it's a disgusting one.
So she did turn some of them over to the doctors, but kept a lot for herself as trophies. And at her trial, one doctor testified that she picked out her favorite ones and had them made into a lampshade, which he was instructed to like put together and bring over for her husband's birthday. And she later told the doctor that the lampshade was a huge hit at the birthday party. And at the trial, they weren't able to find it, or many of the items that she made, which like I'll get to all of her like conviction stuff later, but I think it shows the fact that she like got rid of everything before she went on trial, like to me shows that she knew it was wrong. And that's like part of my evil argument for her.
Absolutely.
But yeah, like literally had tons of stuff in her house, had like collections of organs, like in cases, like she, yeah.
I don't like, there's just, I'm sorry to say this, and I know people are collectors of things, but like to have an affinity for collecting something that a human died to give is already in itself super gross and has definite evil connotations to it.
Absolutely. And to want to like keep that around too, like you put them on display. Yeah. So she also enjoyed making the prisoners hurt one another. So if she couldn't find a tattoo that she particularly liked, she would sometimes make one of the prisoners like tattoo another in a manner that pleased her. And then the tattooed prisoner would then be killed for their newly inked skin. So the other thing is, which is very weird, is she also really liked to sexually taunt the inmates. So she would go out of her way to wear short skirts, tight sweaters, would behave sexually openly around like starved and tortured male prisoners. She'd watch as they performed exhausting activities, flaunt and prance around like a movie star. And she would even, for her own amusement, force them to perform sexual acts on each other. And so they started calling her the witch, with a B, of Buchenwald. Nice alliteration, but that was who she was to all of the prisoners. And it should be noted too that she was reportedly a nymphomaniac, and she and Carl had like an open marriage, and so she, like, the doctors and the guards were her lovers. She had like several different children by different fathers, like all at this concentration camp. Her husband was not only okay with this, but apparently like pretty sexually open himself. And at the home that they lived in, like next door to the concentration camp, they would allegedly hold orgies for the SS officers and guards. So like they were some.
I mean, full swinging.
Yeah, full swinging. And then she's like, as part of her like sexual kink is like includes the torture of these prisoners.
I'm shaking my head so much. Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
All right. Well, when we get back from this break, I want to talk about how you're feeling so far and what your verdict so far, if this is her or if this is just to please the husband. So let's go to the break. Today's episode is brought to you by Help Yourself Cookies, an absolutely fantastic custom-made sugar cookie company. If there's an occasion, there's a cookie for it. Laura and I have had cookies made for our weddings, bachelorette parties, friends' birthdays, holidays, and more. Help Yourself Cookies follows your lead. When I wanted to get my mom birthday cookies, I just described some of the things my mom loves, like chocolate, the beach, new shoes, and Help Yourself Cookies delivered. It was a custom set of cookies unique to my mom for an amazingly personal gift. And the best part? They taste amazing, unlike a lot of other sugar cookies with icing that can taste too sweet or too dry. Gross. go to helpyourselfcookies.com to order. They ship nationwide, or at the very least, you definitely need to go check out the amazing designs on Instagram at helpyourselfcookies. That's HelpYourselfCookies. Now back to our show. And we're back. And at the break, I sent you a pretty disturbing image.
Yes, of you did.
One of her collectibles. So let's talk about
it. I can't tell what it is.
They're just two pieces of skin with tattoos on them. And yeah, go ahead. Explain what you're seeing.
Yeah, it's exactly like Caroline described. It's a preserved piece of skin with like tattoos. They're black and white, and they are
two, they seem to be of men.
Yeah, their bodies. They're like a scene of sorts, but it is hard to tell. But they're not fashioned into anything. It's not like a lamp. So I guess my question is, were these just like framed art pieces?
These were just like in her nightstand. Like she just like kept like trophies of these little like cuts of skin. So like I said, like she got rid of most of the like incriminating stuff, but I think she like forgot how many like just skin pieces
that
she had.
Yeah, she had such an insane volume of stuff that she wasn't able to squeaky clean it all in time.
Exactly. And she was on trial by the time that like all of this disappeared. And so like somebody else was cleaning it out for her. So like they probably didn't know where all of the stuff was either.
Jeez, that's a rough picture to see because that was on somebody.
Yeah.
That's hard to think about. That's crazy.
So what do you think about her so far? Like, do you think – let's talk about what kind of I brought up at the beginning where if it's – is she swept up in the Nazi idealism? Is she swept up with her husband? Like, is this just
– No, I
him,
think
– or do you think it's truly like her acting
in
her
own? From hearing your – description of like how she acted in the camp, this was who she always was, and she was given an opportunity. She was given, we talk about this a lot, power, and how a lot of times these evil people either don't have power and they're grasping for it, or they do have power and they're abusing it. And for her to be, you know, it doesn't even seem like she had a job. And again, it's there isn't even – you can't – even if I believed they were only following orders, which I don't, that doesn't even apply here. She goes so much further, and she's clearly enjoying it.
Yes.
And, you know, you think about the detachment that the Nazis probably felt when they were doing these – the most awful things that you can think of. But she wasn't detached. She was reveling in it. She was enjoying it. And that just takes it to a whole nother level. And for it not just to be something she did, but something she enjoyed and was seeking out.
Yeah.
It makes you, I don't know. It just, it's awful.
Yeah.
And it's evil.
It is evil. I need to read that article or whatever report thing that your dad told us to read.
Yeah.
About like people who get like swept up in kind of like, I don't know, the craziness of it all, like the cultiness. We talk a lot about cults.
Yeah. We do.
But like, yeah. But like Nazis kind of a cult. Like
in it.
All
well,
of this,
and that's,
yeah.
And that's what you see now is that a lot of young men are turning to the quote alt-right because they feel completely alone in our society. And it's saying like, here is your like brotherhood, like we're in this together. And then suddenly they're swept up into something that they don't even understand.
And that they probably wouldn't have done on their own. So it is sort of that, I guess, is the question is Ilsa, in terms of how we rank her in evilness, you know, was she bound for this kind of evil regardless, or did this kind of ideology just give her like a way to be evil that she might not have been otherwise?
I would go with the former. I think she was on a path to evilness. I think that this became her opportunity. This became her obsession. And
yeah,
again, we've talked about power and how it's addicting. And she got addicted to it.
Especially going back to her, like how she got recruited to the Nazi party. Like I said, she was just kind of a lowly bookkeeper who wasn't making very much money in this like struggling economy, and then became like the mistress of this like powerful concentration camp, like one of the largest concentration camps, as they mentioned. And so I definitely think that that went to her head.
I like that question, because I do think that good people can do evil things in the right situation, and people make bad decisions. But I think, again, the fact that she enjoyed it and was making sport of it and was collecting items and was – this was her everyday, it goes so far past the, like, swept up argument.
And I think it's important to note that I actually found stories of other, like, Nazi women during that time period who were assigned to concentration camps as, like, part of their, like, duties. And they actually used their status to save people. Like, there was one woman who was the only – like gynecologist who would actually like properly deliver babies, because she cared that the babies and that the mothers lived. And there was, you know, other women that were like sneaking people out and like saving people's lives and all of that. So I think that, you know, I'm not saying that like women were the only ones doing that, but you know what I mean? Like in direct comparison to her, if she had any sort of compassion or like a good bone in her body, she could have used her status to really help people. And instead, and like left kind of, I guess, the evilness up to her husband. And instead, she like fully went in.
Yeah.
And no, yeah, she took it. To no one having like told her to do so, you know, like this.
Yes. Again, there's none of this like I was doing
falling.
I can't imagine what she even said in her trial. She has no defense, because that was the defense.
Let's get to the conviction of her getting what she deserves. So Ilse and her husband were actually first arrested by the Nazis themselves for embezzlement and cruelty.
Classic.
Like, imagine being arrested by the Nazis.
Yeah.
Like, that's how bad they were.
Yeah. Well, and also that's another thing. They clearly didn't actually care about the cause.
Right.
They didn't actually agree with the Nazis.
Because the Nazis were supposed to get that money that they stole from the people's pockets. Like, so that's like
they can't
a huge part of why they got
indoctrination.
Convicted. Yeah.
When in reality, all they wanted to do was abuse people and steal money. And they can't use – that's like –
Imagine being so bad that the Nazis arrest you. So – Carl was found guilty of skimming money as well as murder, but like obviously not the murder within the concentration camp. Like he was like murdering like guards for fun too. Oh. So, and he was sentenced to death. Yeah, I know. We didn't even really like talk about him, but like obviously he's terrible too if you're married to this. Ilse was on trial, but while they were trying to convict her, all of the witnesses and physical evidence conveniently disappears.
I'm shocked.
So it was later proven that she had many of the witnesses killed.
Ugh.
And
still had the power even after kind
her
of –
her husband's like dead at this point. Her husband's been sentenced to death, and now she's on trial and she's like off having witnesses killed.
Like, who is loyal to her?
So the doctors that she used to have affairs with.
Because I was going to say
– relationships with.
The Nazis wouldn't be
– No. It was all people working at the concentration camp that they had like brought into their little like, I don't know, relationship thing. But so she, all those lampshades and the other trophies, they think that they were like disposed of by doctors at the camp. But then to prevent them from testifying, she had the doctors killed, the ones who were who hid all of her evidence and got rid of all of it, because she didn't want them to later testify. So she gets off totally scot-free due to the lack of evidence.
I can't.
So that's trial number one. So there were like three
were there
trials
no?
because then she got charged with war crimes. So she was in the Nuremberg trial, and she was actually one of the like biggest like concentration camp leaders left that the U.S. got to try, because so many of them either got killed in battle or like killed themselves because right. they didn't want to get caught sort of thing. So she was like a big conviction for them. So she ultimately was convicted of war crimes, sentenced to life in prison. But she even made like one last attempt to get out of it and like get sympathy to not get life by revealing on her like second to last day of trial that she was 8 months pregnant. We don't know who the father is. She'd been in jail. So she got like pregnant in jail.
And she was 8 months pregnant and that was somehow a revelation?
Yeah, and she passed out in court to like be dramatic. But they saw through her act and she was still sentenced to life.
Was she actually pregnant?
Yeah. She had her son while in jail. So, and I actually was going to talk about him because, so in 1967, when Ilsa was 60 years old, she committed suicide in her cell. And her son, who was born in prison but had been taken away from her immediately, obviously, he would go visit her. And before her death, she told him that every night her victims would – all the victims that she had killed or had killed or taken their skin, they would come visit her at night and beat her and abuse her. So she was having these delusions.
That's her torture. And, if you were,
and I said, I hope that gives you a bit of inspiration for your final punishment. Yeah,
there
it is.
That's the punishment right there.
Okay, so I'm ready for my evil summary.
Okay.
Are you?
Yes.
So for my evil summary, I will say that Ilsa might have gotten caught up in the Nazi ideology, but to me, her torturous methods made her evil. I don't think she did what she did for her husband. I think that they became attracted to each other because of their each of their evil personalities. And like I said before, there were other Nazi women who were going against the cause and their cause and saving people. So like I think Ilsa knew she was what she was doing was wrong and was just okay with it. And then she hid her evidence because she knew it was wrong. She had people killed to avoid conviction. But just like the Gates at Buchenwald said, I think she got what she deserved.
There it is. If she – okay. I agree with what your summary was. I really feel like it goes so much further, as I've said probably four times now, than like the cause or the ideology or I needed money. And it truly – like – even to somebody like that, like nothing is sacred. Like nothing is worth your loyalty or anything because all you want to do is hurt. All you want to do is abuse and abuse people and have this sense of power. And just like the fact that she was on a horse, it's so clear that she thought she was above everything and that this was all for her amusement.
They built their house and their like arena on a hill so that way they would be like above the camp and so the like the prisoners could see them and always – so they always knew that she was above them. So yeah, I think
– and even when she wasn't literally torturing them, they her presence was felt. Presence. Like you could see – you weren't escaping it just because she wasn't on her horse that day. And
yeah,
so –
yeah, and I looked into – the other thing that I found, I guess, compelling about her evilness is when I was trying to find other, like, women, evil people to cover, so many of them are, like, so clearly have mental illness to me. Like, there are women with, like, Munchausen syndrome who, like, kill their children because they think that their children are sick. But it's, like, it's a mental illness. And I almost, like, don't even want to talk about those kind of people because I don't think that makes you evil to have a mental illness, obviously. And, like... Yes, they did evil things. But for her, in her story, I just could never find anything that indicated that she had like a mental illness that not made her do these things, but like made her more susceptible to doing these things. Like it truly seems like she just really got swept up in the power, swept up in the ideology, but only in the sense that it gave her permission to torture people.
It was a means to an end that she wanted.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think that you always want, like, we always want to find, like, reasons for something. We want to understand things just like that's in our human nature. And this is one that, like, we could talk about forever, but, like, at the end of the day, it's just because she was evil and that was who she was.
Yep.
And I think that I'm glad that you had said that's some inspiration, because that's the perfect, that's the perfect punishment. That's it. It's the people that you hurt coming back and hurting you, and you haven't. I mean, I would like also think for someone like that who was involved in, I don't know, like seeing how the world has changed,
mm-hmm.
and seeing the way that we talk about Nazis today. And even though it didn't matter really clearly that much to her,
because yeah, she was going to say, I don't know if that would get her, or if even like we showed her how we respect and love and how integrated Jewish people are, you know, like,
right. That the world, yeah, that,
that we, the world no longer has that hatred. Like, I don't even know if that would necessarily affect her. Like, I don't even know it from everything that I read, like she doesn't seem to be explicitly like anti-Jewish people. Yeah. Yeah, she just is crazy.
Yeah, and those were the people that were
there at her disposal.
Yeah, were the most vulnerable, yeah. And she took advantage of that. It didn't really mm-hmm. matter. God, I mean that – it just – it's hard to think that there might be people like that still around, and that you yeah. probably have bumped into these people in your life that would do this if given the chance.
Right, and that's what – makes me so angry and sad about like seeing the swastika on Union Station, which in DC, like this isn't supposed to still be in anybody's brains. Like right. everything in history has shown that like these are the bad guys, and why anybody at this point would want to be on that side is absolutely mind-boggling to me. No. It's not even a side. It's a cult. And I mean, look at the horrendous things that she did. She cut the skin off of people. She liked sending kids to the gas chambers. Like, mm-hmm.
I mean, somebody who draws a swastika is either an evil person in their way, or has been indoctrinated, or is ignorant is too light of a word.
Yeah.
Uneducated, you know, and it,
yep.
there's just so much hate bouncing around.
That's how I was feeling about, like, you know, Nazis are low hanging fruit at the end of the day for this kind of podcast. But I think it's still important that we talk about them and we talk about the atrocities. And because well, as long as you have somebody who is potentially ignorant drawing that on.
Exactly.
A building, they need to know exactly how they're aligning themselves.
Exactly. And it's the further away we get from something like this, the more we tend to forget, and we
mm-hmm.
it's just we can't, because it was real, and it really wasn't yeah. that long ago, and God, every episode my stomach is just flipping over here.
You had a fun time, but you feel sick.
Yeah, I enjoyed our That's time together, the evil Caro, people podcast. But you made me feel awful. Thank you for yeah. that.
All right. So what's her level? What's her level? Oh. I think we've talked about her punishment. I think that's correct. I mean, it's obviously what bothered her the most, because yeah. it caused her to take her own life. So I think that – and I think that also shows the fact that it did seem to catch up with her, like her actions did. It's not like – Ian Watkins in our last episode where he just genuinely like never felt remorse. Like, I think that is her telling her son that like her victims are coming to abuse her at night. I think shows that it did catch up to her, and she realized that what she did was wrong. So I think that is the correct final punishment, but where's she at in the levels?
You know, I would still
do Nazis automatically get
a seven
out of seven?
And I would say she does, because it wasn't okay. I really do because it was very clear that she wanted to hurt people, and that
mm-hmm.
she not only was she the only one who mattered, like she wanted, it's not like, oh, I get nice things, they don't get nice things. It's like, I'm willing to kill you
mm-hmm.
to make something for myself.
Yep.
And like
I'll give her a six out of seven. And okay. I'll tell you why. One is she never did the killing. Okay. And I don't think that makes her necessarily like a better person, but I think if she had been forced to kill a single person, like actually take a human life versus just like giving the order, she might have, it might have had a different outcome. And okay. I think that also because she, it did seem to connect with her at the end of her life that what she had done was wrong. I give a little bit of credit to realizing and regretting her actions. So that's why she's, so a, I mean, I think you, typically if, Nazis 7 out of 7, but I think that for her, because she kind of had maybe that change in heart in her later life, she's only on level 6.
So then who would you say is more evil? Ian Watkins or her?
See, I still think Ian, and that, and I think the reason it's, I just came to this conclusion like 2 minutes ago. I didn't think about this before, but I think because he still thinks that he's in the right and like doesn't see the error, has no regret over like the babies that he tortured and gave drugs to and like all of the other stuff that we'd have to put a trigger warning on this episode again to talk about. Like that to me, he's 7 out of 7, the worst. And her, she's absolutely terrible, like deserves to be where she is, but I, because she's experienced remorse, she moves up a little bit. But Matthew Israel is 5, so she's still more evil than Matthew Israel to
absolutely
me.
Absolutely. And it almost makes me feel like I was too harsh on him the first episode. I would love,
I don't know, when we're still 6 people still died on his
yeah,
watch,
you're right,
you know,
you're right.
Like,
but I would wonder,
everybody killed, actually Ian Watkins didn't kill anybody, so that's an interesting thing too. But I don't know.
I would love for us to do when we like finish up, I don't know how many episodes.
Season 1.
Yeah, we're going to do it in season 1. But I would love us to like revisit and like.
I think we should.
Do I actually agree with the original rankings? Just knowing. God, are we going to become, is this like how I become just like so jaded and cynical?
That's why we're going to start doing like a Good Friday or something.
Okay,
we talk
great.
About good people.
We could do like a shorter episode.
This is how. Right? This is how you get jaded, 100%.
Right.
Like, we're talking about truly only evil people, and it just makes you question everything about life. And, like, our last conversation, like, is everybody inherently evil if they get enough power and fame? Like, I mean, truly, it is – it can definitely start weighing on you. So I only want to talk about this once a week.
Yeah, but I do also feel like it gives me – perspective on things, and it challenges mm-hmm. me in the way that I think about like what people's intentions are. And I'm a big believer in intentions matter, and if you make a mistake with good intentions, that's a lot different than you doing something right with bad intentions. And so I do think that this has kind of solidified some of my beliefs, but also is like questioning others, which I think is a great outcome of a podcast.
Yeah. You know what? I'm already reconsidering my 6 out of 7. I might put her back on 7 out of 7 because I think there's a reason that all Nazis make it to 7 out of 7. And that's because we're still – they've still encouraged or like have a following still that is still so hurtful and hateful and unwelcome in today's world. Like at least Ian Watkins like didn't have – a huge following of like people who wanted to do what he did.
And his reach wasn't as widespread.
Wide. Yeah. And ultimately, I mean, I couldn't find, you know, the number of people's deaths that she was actually responsible for. So, you know, I mean, it could be in the thousands. And so that, yeah, she goes back to 7.
So. 7 and
tortured by your own victims.
Tortured and visited. By your victims. I also like the idea of her hell being a continuation of the jail she was in.
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes you think, right? Like what – that's another thing that we touched upon slightly that we could talk about more is like, is there an afterlife and where are we going? Mm-hmm. But this – tell me her name. I'm so bad with names. Tell me your name again.
Ilsa Cook.
Ilsa, you're going straight to hell, girl. You're already down there.
I mean, she's been there since 1967, so.
And forevermore.
Right.
Tough. Forevermore. Well, thanks, Caroline.
Well, I appreciate input as always, and sorry I've made you sick again.
It's worth it. I'm out here learning, so we're all good.
All right, good people. We'll see you next time.